The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. At home and abroad, Jesus and his disciples encounter resistance as they seek to proclaim God's word and relieve affliction. I begin reading at verse 1. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not these his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except the staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you stop and think about it, Jesus had every reason to be a bitter person for the many people that rejected him. I mean, just look at the passion account itself. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees all rejected Jesus. And these were the holy men. These were the ones who were supposed to lead Israel to God. The people who were supposed to teach about God. The ones who were supposed to be closest to God. And here these important figures are the ones that rejected Jesus and plotted his death. Or look at that crowd that was at that time then too. A few days earlier, that crowd had been hollering, "Hosanna! Praise be to the King, welcoming the King into the city of Jerusalem." And then a few short days later, they're out there yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." There could have been people in the crowd that Jesus had cured or at least talked to or had spoken to, had taught. But no, they turned and rejected him. Or his most trusted disciple, Peter. Peter, the one who said, "Lord, we will go to Jerusalem and we will die with you." What happens to Peter? He denies Jesus three times. Or another disciple, Judas, became traitor and turned Jesus in. All those rejected him. And now we come to this story today, here in our gospel lesson, and it's an earlier account of Jesus being rejected. And this time it's not by some strangers, it's not by some high people in society. Rather, it's by his own hometown. Those people he grew up with, those people that he went to school with, those people that he played with, or people knew him as he grew up, or maybe Jesus did some carpentry work for him. The people that he knew, the people that he knew most well, these are the ones that rejected him today. But then there's also us, because every time we do sin, every time we go against God, we reject God. Every time we We neglect to say our prayers, or we don't read scriptures, or we miss that opportunity. We don't take that opportunity to witness, to tell that story of Jesus Christ. Anytime we neglect to come to worship, or we don't give of ourselves, our time, our talents, our possessions. Every time we sin, we are rejecting God, and we're saying basically, God, I know what's best for me. Stay out of my life. I don't want you messing things up for me. We reject God. So with all of this rejection, it would have been very easy for Jesus to become bitter. But I love this line in the gospel lesson for today. Verse 5, and he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he cured them. People missed the boat. But, you know, Jesus didn't stop there. He still laid his hands on people, the people that would accept him, and they were cured. But not only that, as we look further then past this one story and look into the next story here, Jesus didn't stop his ministry. He didn't become bitter because of all this rejection. Rather, instead, he expanded it. He broadened his ministry. He went to the other villages in the area. And he also sent out his disciples to lay their hands on people, to cure the sick, to cast out demons, to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus didn't turn inward on himself with all of this rejection. He didn't back up and rethink. He didn't second guess himself. He didn't second guess God's mission. Rather, instead, he went out and he expanded it. He made it bigger. Something else, too, that grabs me about this one sentence here, this one verse. And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. You know, as you stop and think about it, the ones that were hurt because they rejected Jesus were actually the ones who were rejecting Jesus. Because Jesus couldn't do his deeds of power there. There was no faith. They were the ones that missed out on that. You know, Jesus very easily could have been bitter, but rather instead he forgives people. That's what his mission was here on this earth, was to proclaim the kingdom of God was at hand, repent, and to offer that forgiveness to people. You know, if we too are called to follow in that mission, to proclaim the kingdom of God, but we're also called to forgive. To forgive as Christ has forgiven. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a very dangerous prayer to pray, if you stop and think about it. Because what if we don't forgive other people? What are we asking God in that prayer if we don't forgive other people? We are actually asking God, don't forgive me either. And where does that leave us? But condemned. If we don't receive the forgiveness of God, we are condemned. And so that prayer is very dangerous to pray, because we're praying for God's forgiveness as we forgive each other. So we are called to forgive. Forgiveness is one of the toughest things, I think, that we do as Christians, because it hits home to us. It hits us right square in the middle, because when somebody does something to us, what's our first reaction? Get angry. Maybe to get bitter, to want to strike back, to retaliate, to give them as they gave to us. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and maybe add a little bit extra for interest. And it accelerates. And you have enemies. Relationships are destroyed. And it's like the people then of this hometown. If they're not willing to forgive, if they're not willing to accept Jesus, if we're not willing to forgive, then it hurts us. We become the bitter people. People who do not forgive are just bitter. And you probably know people like that who carry a grudge around with them. And that grudge is not hurting the person that they're holding a grudge against. It hurts themselves, because it turns the whole mood sour. God calls us to forgive. There was a young couple who were engaged, but the engagement broke apart. And the woman rethought about it. And so she writes a letter to the person that she broke the relationship off with. And she writes, "Dear John, words cannot express my deep regret at having broken our engagement. Will you please come back to me? Your absence from my side leaves a void which no one can fill. I forgive you. Please, let us start over again. I love you. I love you. I love you." And it's signed, "Your adoring Sally." But there's a postscript at the bottom of it. "P.S. Congratulations on winning the $50 million lottery." You know, there's reason why we forgive. And it's not... The reason that we give is not for our own personal gain, but rather it is a giving. And it does give us gain as well then too, because it takes away that burden of holding that grudge against somebody else when we forgive somebody. But it restores that relationship once again. You know, one of the ways of forgiving or that makes it a little bit easier to forgive is you can put yourself in that other person's shoes, that person's shoes who has hurt you. I think sometimes we lash out at people because we're angry, not necessarily at them, but because we're necessarily at other people, or we're angry at just the world. We're just angry. Things have not gone right and we're angry. And I think a lot of times we lash out at those people that we are closest to. Maybe to your husband or to your wife or to your children, to your parents, to a brother or a sister. We lash out at those people that we are closest to because that feels safe. We know that those people do love us and will accept us. And that's unfortunate that we lash out at those folks. But hopefully there is forgiveness. And if we can put ourselves in the shoes of those who have lashed out and understand why they may be angry or why they have hurt us, it may make it easier to forgive them. Try to understand people. Get in that conversation with people. Don't hold that grudge within you. Otherwise, it's going to absolutely eat you up. There was a son who lied to his father. And his father knew that it was a lie. But the son never would admit to that lie. As time passed on, that friction grew deeper. And there was a chasm between them. There was a hurt in that relationship. And after several years, it started to gnaw on that son's conscience. So he wrote a letter to his father, apologizing and admitting to that lie that he had made to his father. And the relationship got better. It was forgiven. Many more years passed by, and the son's parents died, and so he was up in the attic, sorting through the stuff that's stored up in the attic, figuring out what needs to be tossed, what needs to be kept, what needs to be given away, what can be sold. And he came across a box filled with papers. And buried at the bottom of that box was that letter that son had written to his father. And in big, bold print across the front of that letter was the word, "Forgiven." The son knew that he truly was forgiven. Not only because the father had written in such bold print, but because of the relationship had gotten better. He knew that he was forgiven. And he also knew that he was forgiven because it was buried. It was stuck away to be forgotten. To not be remembered. Not to be picked up again. Not to be hashed over. But it was stuck away in a box, at the bottom of a box, up in the attic, collecting dust. For us, we can say the words, "I forgive you." And we can think we can forgive people, but a lot of times it's very hard to forget. And that's the tough part. But we need to put that behind us. Put those hurts, those pains behind us. We can look at Jesus and his example here today in this gospel lesson, that he didn't stop. He didn't get bitter at his own hometown, his own home family. He came to save them as well. But rather, Jesus expanded his ministry. He kept going. He made it bigger. He got other people involved into it. And as we look at that and, And we look at our forgiveness as well then too of how we have been forgiven so that we can forgive others. Christ came into this world to bring salvation. He came into this world to bring forgiveness to us. He died on that cross, taking our sins, taking our hurts, taking our shames, taking our bitterness upon himself, and he dies with it. And it's buried. But Christ himself comes back to new life, promising us that we too can have new life. When we forgive other people, we're starting over again. When we forgive and when we forget, it's a new life. It's a new relationship. It's a fresh start. Christ does that with his resurrection. He gives us a fresh start, a new day, a new beginning, to give praise and to give thanks to him and to restore relationships with one another. Christ has forgiven us. Let us forgive one another. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.